Hello all and welcome to the sixth episode of Front Page Fantasy. Today, I'm not joined by anyone. It's quite a disappointment and maybe reflects the nature of fantasy where every single week people tend to drop off, and that's, you know, even our own contributors here at Front Page Football. However, I'm still going strong. I'm still going at it, and I'm doing this episode for anyone that is still going strong with the fantasy as we head into the final couple of rounds. Now, this is episode six of the series, as I mentioned, and it's a couple more rounds for both the men's and the women's, which I personally think are the best times to actually make the most gains in fantasy. Obviously, this is the time where, yeah, less people are playing. Therefore, you know, people are going to have teams that have injured players. They're going to have players that aren't playing. So this is the perfect time to really make a lot of those jumps. And for me personally, I probably will need to make some. We'll go into a sec, but we'll just have a look, you know, at both the fantasy leagues. And yeah, look, I'm proud and not proud at times. I'm not proud with myself and my performance, but I'm proud as we do have a lot of really, really good players we'll get into. But for me personally, in the men's, I'm currently sat number 38 in the league, which is so poor, considering the fact that we only have 70 people in our league. So I'm mid-table, but I'm below average mid-table, if that makes any sense. I'm in the lower half of my own fantasy league. And I wonder how many people of these are actually playing as well. So very, very tough to admit that I've been terrible this season. I'm not going to say I've stayed up all night making my fantasy team for every week, but I have put effort into it. I really have. I've made a whole bloody podcast for it and just haven't reaped the rewards. Funnily enough, I think I did better last year when I stopped playing midway through the year. I don't know why. I guess we'll go through that soon. But yeah, it's not been great for me. But we've had a lot of really, really good players in the league this season. I think a couple of these names are looking familiar. When I last mentioned them around the mid-season, they've kept their spots very well. We have the likes of Give Us Craig, Silvo Squad, Cal Moo, Italian Stallions, 245. Some of you guys there, that's the top five, at least in the men's. We'll go into the women's shortly, but all of those there are all around the top 30 in the whole competition. The top player, Give Us Craig, is number four in all of fantasy. So in a sense, I am proud that maybe some of my selections or suggestions, and that's helped them, who knows. But yeah, I again, if you are, especially as we're heading into the final part of the season, if you are a person I mentioned there, reach out, whether it's Front Page Football, myself personally, Jay Collab, on basically all platforms, reach out to me. Tell me, or show me that you are this person. We have some pretty decent rewards. I'm pretty happy about that. I was quite unsure what we're going to do, but yeah, so we're essentially going to have a little prize for both the men's and the women's competition. We'll give a little prize for each one. So, you know, looking at, you know, likes of Give Us Craig and Silvo Squad, I think there's a 100-point gap there. So it's going to be a big one there for Silvo Squad to try to recover. But we'll have to see in the end. But yes, that was for the men's. And for the women's, you know what? I'm pretty happy with how I've gone this season so far. And obviously, there's only one more round left. But unfortunately, I actually have seemingly dropped a spot last week. However, maybe I can make that back up. I'm currently sat at sixth in our league, which it's not too bad, but I love top five. I really would. That'd be an honor. Yeah, I think looking at some of the players in our competition, we've got some very good players. You know, I'm looking there at the top four, all in the top 27 of the whole competition. We have half fantasy team go brrr. He's currently number two in the whole competition. So we've got some good players again. So there's 25 players. And look, I'm sixth. I'm pretty happy with that. That's pretty decent. You know, I would have loved to won it, but it is what it is. But I just want to give a quick shout out to Jack Tuhill. We had him on one of the earlier podcasts, and he's just behind me at seven. So I think he's going to be really battling me for that final spot. We'll have to see. But that's sort of a brief rundown, I guess, in a sense, of the scene at the moment. I'll read out some of the top five here. So I'm going to say it a third time, half fantasy team go brrr, because it is a good name. I like that name. Cal Moo, Silvo Squad again. I think Cal Moo was in the last one as well. Dynamo ZG and Don't You Darabin. Again, if any of you are listening now, we'll hit up Front Page Football. We'll get in contact so we can, because I want to make sure if we have people playing in this competition, you enter the competition, we promised you prizes. So I think you've earned those prizes. So yeah, if you're one of those, please reach out and we can get all that sorted. But anyways, we'll get into firstly at the men's, like we sort of normally do, position by position, just generally looking at the scene and what's going on. And yeah, I guess starting with the men's, and it's a very interesting. They're quite different at the moment, because obviously with the men's, there is well, we're heading into round 22 now. There's only a handful of rounds left, but this upcoming round 22, is going to be very interesting. I think it probably is going to be one of the most important ones the whole season, as there's two extra games, which is unbelievable. There's eight games being played this week, which obviously from the normal six, they're like, wow. So that means there's four teams that will be essentially playing double game weeks. It's going to be the Mariners, it's going to be Melbourne City, it's going to be Perth Glory, and it's going to be Sydney FC. So yeah, that is absolutely massive. It is vital, I guess, in that sense, to have some of these players in, because I think double gaming players are so important, especially the ones that can play in those two games. And looking ahead as well, I think heading into round 24 is the only other time for the rest of the season where there is a double game week, and that's going to be Western United and Adelaide. That's a really good way, firstly, now in terms of a tip, just look ahead, look at some of these teams that are going to have or players playing for the teams that have double game weeks. Anyway, so looking generally across the board here, I'm starting off in the goalkeeper position this season. Obviously, it's been noted, Alex Paulsen has been the star. He's been the key man, and he still is the top scoring player in the league. But to be fair, Philip Curto has been one that sort of not came out of nowhere, but he's really stepped up recently and been excellent. We brought it up a couple times over this podcast where it seemed like the top three was Paulsen, Lawrence Thomas, and Joe Gauchie. Obviously, Joe Gauchie left, midway through the season to join Aston Villa. Essentially, was like, okay, Lawrence Thomas. And so I picked him up after the Asian Cup. And actually, in the meantime, I had Daniel Margush. But Lawrence Thomas has been suffering with injuries. So he missed the however many weeks, I think it was three or so rounds due to playing with the Socceroos. And then has picked up an injury and sort of only came back since, essentially, when the Wanderers have been struggling and they've been, not doing so well. So he's, one that's fallen down. He's the ninth top scoring goalkeeper in the league this season, which, I think maybe you wouldn't expect that. Obviously, you knew he would miss out in some weeks, if he did get called up to Socceroos, but that's been the one surprising. So it's sort of been Paulsen, who's really leading the way at the top, and Philip Curto, the likes of Danny Vukovic is there too, Jamie Young, Paul Izzo. Paul Izzo is the one I currently have as part of Melbourne Victory. I feel like they'll have a pretty solid end to the season, at least defensively, I'm hoping at least. But I think there's a lot of really solid picks there. In and amongst, I think Macklin Freak for 160K. I think that's a really solid pick there in goals, quite a cheap option. And I think Brisbane, it's sort of a final push they can make towards the finals. I think that could be a really, really good pick. I think Lawrence Thomas, yes, the Wanderers have been struggling. However, they're another team, like Brisbane, where they're currently fighting for that final spot, that sort of final spot there. And maybe you see a bit of jump from those teams and they perform a little bit better. But I think there's a lot of really good options there. Even someone like Sutton or James Delinov, who are around 200K for both of them, who have currently, obviously Sutton has been starting in the absence of Tom Huard-Bell and actually done quite well, as Western United have done as well. But James Delinov too, then those two are facing in their next game. He's currently just under 200K, and both of them have been starting. So I think there's a lot of solid picks, but I think if I'm going for one right now, I think it'd have to be Alex Paulsen, currently 330K, by far the top scoring keeper this league. Just been unbelievable. He loves a penalty save. He is such a jet. And for a good price. A lot of this season he's been very expensive, 400, 500K. So I think getting him for about 300K is actually pretty good. And you expect Wellington, potentially fighting for the title, for the premiership with the Mariners. So I think him or even Danny Vukovic, to be fair, I think those two there could be good, the top teams in the league this season. But so I think there's a lot of interesting options there in goals. But we'll move along quickly to the defense, as there's quite a few right at the top hanging around. Brian Kalatak has been one of the top scoring ones, and obviously, like we mentioned, it's always good to keep in the back of your head who are the teams that have those double game weeks, and well, the Mariners are one of those. So Brian Kalatak there has been one of them, even though he has, for example, played a few games maybe extra less than some other players. And then even likes of Jacob Farrell, obviously he's one where you'd love to have him in your team, but due to the fact he is currently battling injury, that's maybe one little bit iffy. Then you have someone like Tim Payne, who's been excellent all season. But one I do like, and look, I just think with the Wanderers, yes, they've been poor, but it's like you expect them to pick it up, especially defensively. I think it's a team that's historically been very good defensively. And obviously we saw all throughout the season they've been very expensive, their defenders. But now we're looking at the likes of Marcelo, currently 250K. That seems very cheap. And he's the fourth top scoring centre back this season. So I think that's why I'm like, maybe a pounce there. And Jack Clusby, who I've since got out of my team, but who knows? Maybe I'll bring him back in for it, because for 150K for, realistically the starting left back. Obviously he was dropped for one of the past games, Dylan Scicluna. But I don't know. I think you expect him to win his spot back. I think he's starting the most recent game. So it is ultimately risk though at the moment, I think, going for those assets from Western Sydney. But looking around, I think there's a lot of, I think one that's potentially surprised me in a sense has been likes of Roderick Miranda, Jason Guerrier. As again, I think Victory are a very solid team. I think they're going to be one of the top teams this season. Yes, been a little bit more poor recently, but those two, 200K for just 200K, for Miranda, 180K for Jason Guerrier. That's very, very good pricing there. I even like some of the others, like Mark Natter, a consistent starter for Newcastle, quite similar to Ryan Scott, where they consistently start for their team. Yes, they're maybe not getting a lot of clean sheets, but for 175K, I don't mind that pick at all. And I think there's a whole bunch you can really go for. Even Phil Kanker, I like 170K for him. That's not too bad for someone that's also going to be, realistically starting in that team. So I know, I think there's a lot of really solid options. I even like one here, like Tom Aldred, 150K for him. That's a consistent starter there again. So you want to pick up some of these guys that, yes, you do want clean sheets, but I think heading to this point where teams are going to be going for it, I'm expecting probably more goals heading into these last couple of rounds, especially with some double game weeks heading up. I think I'm almost looking to potentially bring in more fullbacks in that sense, because we could be expecting more, attacking output in that sense. I think we've seen the likes of Mikel Docker, Lucas Moragas, Ben Garucho, some of these guys, even Ryan Grant. These are some of the most expensive defenders right now, and they're all fullbacks. So I'm thinking if you could maybe get on some of those, that like for example, Jack Clisby, 150K for him, and he likes to get forward. And it's ultimately just weighing up. Yeah, obviously you want maybe more firepower in your midfield or your attack, but yeah, I think it's just getting. I personally always like to maybe go for more cheap options in the defense, unless you have, someone that is guaranteed output. Maybe someone like Mikel Docker at the moment, to be fair, for 600K. It's very expensive, but he's been unbelievable. He gets forward, he's on set pieces, he's just he's like your perfect asset as a defender, because ultimately, yeah, those goals and assists mean more as a defender. But we'll move along to the midfield now. And the midfield area is interesting, as there's been, well, I think especially one has been Daniel Peña, who maybe all season, this was sort of been the constant debate, like, he should be playing, more centrally, he should be playing here, he should be there. But look, he's been playing centrally recently and he's been unbelievable. I think in his last round, he scored 25 points. Wow. He is unbelievable. I think we all know that. And I think, he's been getting more consistent, getting more minutes. And again, should be noted that Western United do have a double game week heading, I think round 24 it was, round 24. So that's in 2 weeks' time. So I think maybe bring him in. Could be good. Or even other Western United assets. I think the likes of Lachie Wales is always a good price. Even someone like Matt Grimaldi, he's been very good recently and been consistently starting. So I think there's some good ones there for Western United. But personally, one I do like at the moment is actually Zach Clough, who's currently tied with Jay O'Shea, who's also another one I actually don't mind. Who've currently been the top scorers in midfield this season. And Zach Clough, 400K. And Jay O'Shea is currently 330K. I think both of those are pretty good assets. Both are, take set pieces. Both like to get forward. Obviously, Zach Clough's probably a little bit more of a natural attacker. But I really like both of those options there. One I also really like is ultimately Tolgay Arslan. Obviously, we're mentioning the double game week, and he's finally returned from his suspension and was unbelievable in that game against Western Sydney. Obviously, picked up 2 goals. But apart from that, he's just such a great player. He's one that, will pick up, dribbles, key passes, which are all things that add up to. So even if he doesn't, maybe get that goal or assist in the end, he always just racks up those extra points, which I think is so necessary. And 500K for him is pretty good. I really, really like that option there too. But you can even go in for, you know, maybe some cheaper options. I'm liking the likes of Jed Drew currently at the moment, 150K for him. He's one where maybe recently has lost his starting position to Bernardo. But obviously, as we mentioned, Bernardo has picked up an injury. So he's one that could maybe jump into that wing position and start there. Another one I like is Jake Gerwood-Reich. Obviously, he got suspended the other week and missed the last game. But I think for 175K, obviously, yes, he does play as a centre-back. He doesn't play, you know, in midfield, so maybe you can't expect him to get that. But look, he'll consistently play. He'll pick up points. I even think they'll do some clean sheets. The Sydney have just looked really good recently. Ultimately, we'll have to see. Another one I do like is Henry Hoare, who, yes, has been playing maybe a little bit more sort of like in the pivot almost with Jarrod Shea recently, but for 230K for someone that consistently starts, and I think we saw in the other game where he'll make a late run into the box. Yes, he plays a little bit deeper to start, but he likes to get forward and involved in the final build-up, which I think potentially even may suit him even better. So yeah, I think that's another good option there. Even someone like Max Burgess, I don't mind for 180K. That's pretty cheap for someone as talented as he is. One I've sort of jumped on basically as soon as he was starting was Corey Holman of Sydney, as I really like him firstly as a player. It seems like Ufuk Tale really likes him in the sense that he's actually been, you know, for example, starting over Luke Braddon in recent weeks, which maybe has come as a little bit of a surprise in terms of, hey, you know, Luke Braddon's an unbelievable player. I think we all know that, but Corey Holman maybe does suit that more pressing style. And he's someone that, yeah, will maybe get forward, press ahead, win a ball, play that final pass when the defense is exposed and get an assist. And I think there's been countless times I've seen in recent games where he'll get into good positions. He'll get attack, you know, more forward. He'll get into the box and, you know, have a shot. Maybe hasn't scored one yet, but I can see one coming. I think Holman, you know, especially off the back of, you know, getting a call up from the Oli Roos as well. I don't know. I really like him at the moment. And for just 200K, for someone starting for, you know, maybe the best team in the league on form in Sydney FC, they've been unbelievable recently. I don't mind that option at all. And even looking elsewhere, I think Ethan Allegett is just one I like. Obviously, Adelaide, double game week in a couple of weeks, and he's been consistently starting. I like him a lot. And even maybe you want to go for just the Mariners. And one I really like that's really established a role recently is Brad Tapp. For 230K, I really like that option a lot, as he'll consistently start, you expect at least, and he's been really good. So again, I think here, personally, like I think some of the others we mentioned before, you know, in the likes of Clough, O'Shea, Arslan Peña, even Davila and Mashash, you know, some of these top scorers all season, even Josh Nisbet, you know, the list's gone. There's a lot of really good options here, you know, sort of that premium options that you do expect to, you know, give you pretty consistent scoring. And they're not too expensive. So I think I'd especially go for some of those ones there that you will expect pretty consistent points from, especially the ones on set pieces. I think that's ultimately very important. And yeah, I think getting a midfielder that can grab you goals is just so vital, you know, due to the fact that, yeah, you know, you get more points as a midfielder than you do as a forward, obviously. So I think those players are very important. But we'll head across to the forward line. And firstly, you know, the player that's topped it this season and been the top scorer of the whole league, like by far, Joe Lolley. Just what a player. Like, honestly, just what a player. He's been unbelievable this season. Currently over my team. I think I remember a point where I had him, dropped him as I think he was worth 700K. Then he went back down. I jumped back on him and, yeah, currently 520K. I don't mind that. I really don't mind that for Joe Lolley. As, again, he's one, I think, very similar to Tolgay Arslan, where he might not score, he might not grab you a goal or assist one week, but he'll still grab you at least 8-9 points due to the fact he just wins tackles, gets key passes, gets dribbles, gets crosses, just everything. He just gets everything, and it just adds up so quickly with him. So I think he's such a great option, Joe Lolley, and would definitely recommend anyone hopping on that train. But even the likes of Costa Barbarousas, who this season has just been unbelievable. What a rejuvenation he has had, by the way. 420K. Like, if you're, you know, if you said at the start of the season, 420K would be a bargain for Costa Barbarousas, I would probably laugh at you. But that's the reality right now we're living in. And I don't see that changing. I think he's really sort of found his feet again, you know, and just found his form. This is, you know, I was looking statistically, this has probably been his best season ever in the A-League, which is unbelievable. You know, he's in his 30s now. But yeah, and even some other options I like. Obviously, you can look at probably maybe some of the top scorers in the league this season. The likes of Stamatopoulos, Taggart, Fornaroli, 350K for Fornaroli right now. Again, one that maybe recently hasn't been grabbing as many goals or assists as it was at the start of the season, but It's Bruno Vonaroli, and we've seen what he can do. So I don't mind that option at all for just, you know, for 350K for, yeah, I think what, tied top score at the moment, I think, with Adam Taggart. So, yeah, I think both of those are great options there. And even some others, like, I think Max Caputo perhaps is one you can hop on. He looks like, because, yeah, I'm looking at, you know, Jamie McLaren was someone I've basically kept in my seed team all season. However, and I was just waiting for him to break that streak, as we know, you know, Jamie McLaren, he's one where if he gets that confidence going, if he just gets a good, you know, goal or two, you can just see that confidence building, and then he'll just go on a run. And I've just been kind of waiting for that all season. However, it just didn't happen. But I think as soon as I noticed, you know, Max Caputo has started over him, that's when I'm like, okay, I'm pulling out here, as I'm not sure if he's going to redeem that. As we've seen, Max Caputo is currently, by the way, 215K for the current starting Melbourne City striker. He's been very, very good. He's been scoring a lot. You know, already 52 points for him, and just been on fire. You know, in the last three rounds, he's averaged 10 points, been scoring goals, starting, getting involved. I really like Max Caputo. So I think that's one there, again, that can be a really, really good pick. And again, the gallable game week for Melbourne City. So I really like Max Caputo there. I think he's probably one of the top picks, I'd say, at the moment. But just 215K, I really, really like him, as, yeah, I think he'll consistently start. I think he's going to keep that spot. I'd be very surprised to see him dropped from the team, considering his form. But another even one I like is Stefan Kolakowski. I currently have my team for 184K for, yeah, someone that you expect to consistently start for Perth. You know, whether that's up top, whether it's out wide, I don't know. But I think Kolakowski just brings goals. He just brings involvement. He brings excitement to the pitch. And I think he's one I really, really like. I think he's going to be an excellent pick for anyone, ultimately. And even looking, even like Robert Mack, for example, obviously he plays in another sort of funny position where he might start out wide, but he likes to come inside and play sort of like an inside forward, in the way at least Sydney have played recently as well, where he's actually playing, you know, sort of as a forward alongside a striker. 360K for him, who's been in great form recently. You know, 12 points a week he's been averaging the last three rounds. Very, very good return for him. I think one that, I don't know, I really like this pick heading into this final stretch of the season, where Nestor Iringunda, I expect him to start most games, and he looks like he's obviously had maybe a little bit more of a challenging season, you know, this time around. I think that expectation, but I think, you know, the heading into the last four, you know, so games of the season, or I think I should be five, he's going to have a great opportunity to just send himself off, and I can really see him. And for 260K for him, I don't know. I don't mind that at all. I think that's also one where it's just fun. I think to get a player like that in your team, that's just a young, exciting player that you just really want to see do well, and you know he has the ability to do well. You can see him score, you know, some outside-the-box banger, but unfortunately those don't count for extra points, which is really frustrating. But I wish they'd do that sometimes. They just reward better goals with more points. I don't know. Like the Terry Antonis one, for example, that he should be getting double points you deserve for a goal, that, because that is simply just, that was outrageous. But yeah, so that's roughly all the moment heading into these sort of final weeks of the season. So a lot of picks I really, really like there, the men's, but obviously we'll help on the women soon. Obviously they only have one more round, but yeah, so I think it's going to be an interesting final couple of weeks. I think it's going to be tight, and I think a lot of teams have a lot to play for. You know, I especially like the likes of Melbourne City at the moment, who have a double game week, and they're going to be pushing for that final spot. I think you're going to see a lot of hunger in them, and I think you've seen recent weeks they've just been playing a lot better. So now we're going to be moving along to the dub, and like I've sort of mentioned before, it is a little bit more interesting, as they only have one more game. There's only one more round for each of the teams coming up. So it's ultimately a thing where you just, any changes you make to your team, it's essentially just based on this one game coming up. It's picking the best player for, you know, who's maybe playing the worst team, and hoping they score points there. They grab a goal. It's not a thing where you have to say, okay, yeah, maybe they're going to have an off game, but they'll come back this week. And no, it's only focus on this one game, which makes it a very interesting heading into the final round. So for example, if we're, you know, quickly moving into the goalkeeper, you know, area, for example, Morgan Aquino has been excellent this season. She's been the top scoring goalkeeper, you know, by quite a distance, 193 points for her. But I'm looking there, you know, Perth have been in, you know, sort of downward trajectory recently, and yes, it's a home game, but they are taking on Melbourne City, who are a very formidable team. A team that's, you know, currently fighting, you know, for a chance to potentially win the league. Obviously, Sydney seem like they'll probably take that crown, but they still have a chance. So I think Sydney are definitely going to be up for that. And yeah, you probably don't expect her, for example, to keep a clean sheet. But I'm looking, for example, at Jada Wyman, who, yes, Victory, very good team too. However, I don't know, at home, I potentially see her, you know, having a big game. So she potentially could be a very good picker there. But ones I'm potentially looking at the moment is also only Lily Rose Dunbar, who we saw come off the bench following the suspension to Izzy Nino in the Victory game. And that could be an interesting one there as well. Yeah, they're playing Adelaide United, who, you know, have obviously, you know, this season struggled. They've been, yeah, the lowest scoring team in the league and, yeah, been rock bottom. So maybe picking her up there on her, you know, starting debut at least could be a shout. You know, it's also just a be a cool moment for her. You know, looking there, 14 owned at the moment. So maybe people are sort of jumping on her at the moment as, yeah, I think that could potentially be a solid little option there for the final game. But ultimately, I think it's just looking at, you know, pure the teams playing. Ultimately, yeah, I like, for example, Sydney players at the moment heading into that final game at home against Melbourne Victory. I think that could be very solid. I'm even looking, for example, some of the Central Coast players heading to a home game against Western United. I don't think that's too bad either, but I think my tip would have to be Jada Wyman, 260K for her. I don't mind that one at all. But moving into the defense, and yeah, I think, again, I'm really liking some of the Sydney FC options as I just think they're going to have a good game in that final game against Victory to, you know, you'd probably expect to win the league ultimately. I think they're going to be up for it. And I'm liking someone like Tori Tumuth, been very high on her all season, 260K for her. Very good option. Even Charlotte McLean, a little bit more, 270K for her. Another one that's great. I think, you know, even Marco Chauvet, who's 270K as well. So I think those three there, around that sort of 260, 270K range, who all, you know, you expect to start, keep their spots for the final game. But yeah, even sort of maybe giving some shout-outs almost to some of the other players this season. For example, Kayla Morrison, who's been just behind Kirstie Fenton, but you do expect her to probably overtake her heading to this final round. Maybe she could be picked there. Yeah, she's been great all season, but I don't know. I mean, maybe someone like Vicky Bruce, for example, Western Sydney, she's been really good this season, coming up to a final game against Wellington. Maybe she grabs something there. Who knows? Maybe Jasmine Wardlow for the Mariners. She's been good as well this season. 270 for her coming to that final game. Maybe she grabs a cheeky clean sheet there. Who knows? I think it's ultimately just picking those players in the goalkeeper and defense where can I see them picking up a clean sheet in this game? And then saying, okay, yes, we'll either say yes or no. If you say yes, just pick someone from that defense or goalkeaper and hopefully you reap the rewards. Who knows? But I think if I'm highlighting a team, I think it's going to be Sydney FC. I feel like they'll go out with a bang that final game, you know, potentially win the league, you know, against some rivals in Victory. So I think that could be an interesting one there, but I'll be interested to see who others opt for. Hopefully I make the right decision and can jump up into the top five. But anyways, we'll move now on to the midfield. And I think the first one I'm just going to say is Serena Bolden, who I've been really devastated I didn't jump on her when she came about. You know, I saw she was listed as a midfielder. I saw, you know, how bloody good she was at the World Cup. I don't know why I didn't jump on it. And yeah, she's only, you know, despite playing 14 games, which is, you know, quite a lot less than all the others, she's currently tied at the top for top scorers in midfield, alongside Vesna Milivojevic. And yeah, she's just been unbelievable. So, you know, heading into that final game against Adelaide United, you know, again, yeah, she's one I might be bringing in. You know, I haven't brought her in all season, but maybe I'll just find the funds for her to bring her in for that final game. Even Vesna Milivojevic, I like, yes, playing away against Brisbane. Yeah, it's not necessarily an easy game for them at all, but she's been great form and she's just an excellent player, you know, consistently throughout the season. There's a reason why she's tight top scorer at the moment for the midfielders. So yeah, you can always expect, especially just Canberra players in general, to just grab you some points here over Mary Stanage Floody. I'd put in that list in the midfield who can grab you a goal or an assist, who knows. I think again, you know, just looking at some of the City players, and the first one I'm going to highlight is Mackenzie Hawksby, 500K for her, but she's been unbelievable on, you know, off the back of a 25-point game, yeah, against Adelaide, where she was, yeah, fantastic. So that could be one there. Even Maddie Caspers, that's not too shabby at all there for 380K for someone that's, you know, going to be coming back now from the Asian Cup, you know, maybe in high hot form, have a big game. Who knows? Perhaps. I think it could potentially just be good to maybe wait to make your final decisions on Canberra or Sydney FC players after their game. Wait on if anyone gets injured. Wait to see sort of what happens if, yeah, I don't know, maybe someone has a great game, maybe someone has a poor game. Like, I don't know. I think it's good to. That's probably what I'm going to be doing. I'll be making my final calls probably just after that game, as obviously the next game is going to be on Thursday, where, yeah, Central Coast take on West United. But we'll move along now to the forward line. It's very interesting here, as first you've got, for example, Michelle Heyman, you know, the top scorer this season in the whole league, 500K for her. I feel like that's one to always, it's just hard to look past. It's Michelle Heyman. She just grabs goals. You know, she's scored last game. So yeah, she's always a very good option to pick. One I'll say to avoid is Hannah Keane. Obviously just picked up a really unfortunate injury. So yeah, honestly, you probably don't want to be picking her for that final game, as she won't be playing it. But even like the likes of Sophie Harding, 300K Sophie Harding, I don't mind that one at all. Away at Wellington. Again, not an easy game, but she's been great form. 28 points in her last game, not too shabby at all. And another one also grabbed 28 points, and one where you can see her having a big final game against Victory. Courtney Vine, what a player. What a bloody player. She's one where, yeah, I think it's very hard to just look past her. So I think that'd probably be the pick to make, in my opinion. She's just unbelievable. Even like one, potentially like Hannah Wilkinson, you know, away at Perth, not easy. But again, Perth being in a bit dodgy form, she's been in pretty good form to herself. So yeah, I don't mind that pick at all too. But I think, again, it's just picking the player you do, you just, it may be against the worst defense and saying, can I see you just grabbing a goal here? Or two, who knows? Yeah, I think that's ultimately the way to go for that final round. And it will be an interesting one. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like my team eating into it. But yeah, I'm just really hoping to have a good week to, yeah, propel myself back into the top five of my league. But anyways, thank you all for listening to this episode. It is probably one of the most weirdest episodes ever, as I've just been yapping to myself for the past however, I don't even know, I've lost track. But look, I've enjoyed watching it. I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to it, and I hope you've enjoyed this series. Obviously, it's my first time ever, you know, making podcasts, doing this stuff. So it's been a learning experience. A lot I've learnt. I would thank anyone that, you know, it's listened and, you know, I've received feedback throughout, which has been great too. So yeah, again, if you want to reach out, you know, especially some of the top players, to, you know, maybe get on a final episode after the season to review it all, and also just for you to receive a prize if you do finish top as well. Yeah, please reach out to make sure you get compensated for your great work this season. But yeah, so that's about all for now. Stay tuned potentially for a final episode. I'll sort of see that, and also we'll probably, you know, announce winners and obviously the final prize for the season. But again, thank you all for listening and stay tuned.